Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That puck is chopped out, and there's a race for a chance on Kolesov. Scores! A shorthanded goal! Peyton Krebs! Two nothing Buffalo. 6:11 to go in the opening period.
Sabres forward Peyton Krebs in just a moment. Mike Schoep here. Bulldog is off today. I know Bulldog will be disappointed to miss this because he was looking forward to chatting with Krebs. Flacco, that thing, there's got to be a parallel, right? I'm thinking of, like, Kyle Orton doesn't work. Doesn't have to be a Bills one. I mean, to get traded and then play immediately. Maybe it's, you know who it is? It's Mayfield with the Rams, right? That's what happened with, maybe it was even less time. But for Flacco to start, like, day one pretty much is kind of insane. But they are desperate. I don't mind it. I'm sort of excited about it, you know, for Chase and Higgins and maybe even Chase Brown and, you know, sort of the, in the fantasy space. Anyway, let's get to Peyton Krebs, our guest on the Westshore Hotline. Peyton, I'm Mike Schoep. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. How do you feel here physically going into another season? You're fifth now with the Sabres. Does it tend to be the case that, like, night one or going into night one is the best you feel all year physically, or does that maybe not always is that not always true?
Yeah, I think physically for sure. You know, you're fired up, you got the adrenaline, you're in KeyBank, crowd's getting you pumped, so yeah, you always get the nervous jitters going in, and kind of everything you were feeling kind of goes away, and you're just ready to let it rip.
What's your way of maintaining, like, your strength and your stamina through the season? It seems like the schedule is insane. And I don't know if you think about this, but maybe not. But, like, this year I think it's even crazier because there's that Olympic break later on and the season isn't more stretched out on the calendar. So how do you guys do it?
Yeah, this year, yeah, you're right. It's pretty much nonstop until Olympic break, so. For me, it's just continuing to stretch each and every day. Little did you know, we're working out pretty much after every game, too. You know, just maintaining the summer we built throughout the summer and trying to stay on top of it. So, yeah, just trying to stay healthy, stretch a lot, and then maintain the muscle you built throughout the summer.
Right. So that's what the summer is? I mean, there's got to be some departure from the work, but, like, the summer is for what? Building up that strength so you can make it through the year.
Yeah, exactly. I think during the season, I wouldn't say you're trying to get any gains. You're just trying to maintain what you built, and we're all strong at this time of the year, so just trying to keep that going so you're not getting injured.
You know, I think that probably in all sports, when you're 0-0, everybody's hopeful. Everybody's optimistic. I got to think that that's true in your case and in the Sabres case. How genuine is it? Like, can you guys really see yourselves having a big year?
Yeah, 100%. I think, I know there's been a bunch of us, you know, a few of us, I guess, that have been here for the last 5 years. And, you know, we got a feeling in our stomachs this year that is exciting, and also a feeling of, we don't want to, we want to break the playoff drought. So we're excited to do that. We got a lot of guys that are hungry and I'm excited for that.
So what's it going to take, Peyton? Like, you know, you've been here a while and you've been under Lindy Ruff now for a full season. What are the changes, I guess I'll put it that way, that the Sabres need to make this year?
Yeah, I think obviously we got to be consistent. That's the number one thing. And I think this year we came in with strength and conditioning was a big thing for us. To be consistent, you got to have that. For us, it's, you know, grabbing our nuts and, you know, being willing to get in the dirty areas and do the work to allow ourselves to, you know, not want to be played against. And that's a big thing for us. And like I said, just be consistent, have an identity, and we got all the talent to do it. That's no problem. I think it's, you know, it's that time.
I think you can say that. Like when you talk to Paul after games, yeah. he can just erase it. He can edit it, but I think you're fine. We're live, but I think you're fine. How about your line at this point? I mean, right now, Paul's given us the lines through practice every day. Fourth line with Malenstein and Danforth, I think I'm seeing. What do you think? Please correct me if I'm wrong about any of this. But what do you think your role is in that role?
Yeah, I think actually, you know, just talking to Lindy today, I'm kind of at Swiss Army knife. Our line's got to be a direct line that when we get out there, we create momentum for the team. And I think we added Danforth this year, who, you know, was in Columbus before. He was absolutely terrible to play against, and those are the type of guys we want on our team. And obviously, Malenstein, you know him. He's a heavy guy, likes to get in the corners and make some hits. So. For us, obviously, we want to help contribute offensively, but the big thing for us is, you know, being a shutdown line and creating momentum for the team. So shift after shift, we can, you know, score some goals.
What is, I think I know, at least in part, what is tough to play against? So I'm thinking maybe one thing would be the guy just never leaves you alone. Whoever it is, like whatever position you're playing, they're kind of always there, but there's more to it maybe?
Yeah, I think, you know, in practice, there's always that guy that seems to just absolutely work and sucks going against because, you know, every time you go in that corner, you're going to have to work to keep the puck. And when you consistently do that, each and every guy, that sucks to play against. And not only that, you're making hits, you're contributing the puck well. When you don't have the puck on your stick and you're just skating around watching the other team fly around you, that's tough to play against. So we want to be that team, and it's exciting.
So sellout crowd tomorrow night. I mean, you mentioned the playoff drought, and we all know all about it. I mean, I've been here since the 70s. I'm familiar with the history of all of this. Not all bad, but at least you should have good energy tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We're excited. I think... like I said, I want to do it in Buffalo. I want to, you know, make the playoffs, win a cup, and I'm more hungrier than ever to do it. So it's exciting.
Have you made yourself at home here? I mean, it's been a few years now, so I'm thinking probably.
Yeah, no, I'm actually just sitting in the car. My daughter's at her swimming lessons here in Williamsville, so it definitely feels like home here. And where my daughter was born, which is where I got engaged to my wife, and it's a pretty special place for us.
Swimming, huh? Like, that's our producer was a swimmer. Only sport for her?
Yeah. Yeah, she's only a year and a half, so we're just it's more of a life skill than anything right now.
swimming lessons, that makes sense. She's not racing. Yeah, she's not playing lacrosse, you know, when she's not swimming or anything like that. not yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's good. I mean, the trade to Buffalo probably feels like, I mean, you're still such a young guy so long ago in your life. But it's a trade that was a big moment for Sabres fans, so much invested in Jack and, you know, yourself and Alex Tuch still grinding here. That probably does feel like a long time ago, right? Do you still, maybe you don't think about it anymore, but can you tell me sort of what that day was like?
Yeah. I'm definitely a Buffalo Sabre now. I don't really think of myself as anything attached with the Golden Knights. But yeah, I mean, that was, obviously I'm young. I've never been traded before. I'm just a type of guy that wants to play in the NHL, loves playing in the NHL. I don't care where it is. And, you know, it was a new opportunity. A guy like Alex Tuck, who we're really close, obviously, it was special. And, you know, we want to win in Buffalo and obviously prove that trade right. And I think this year is a good step to do that.
That's interesting, too. You know, I mean, you might consider yourself close with all your teammates, but then the trade happens and there's one who's going with you. And so, you know, he's a little older. He even was like a Sabres fan growing up, right, Alex? So maybe he was the right guy for you to have sort of team up on this, in this move at the time.
Yeah, no doubt. Our wives are really close. I have kids the same age. So, no, he's like an older brother to me. Guy I look up to a lot. And he's obviously a heck of a hockey player, too. So that helps out.
Very good. Well, Peyton, I'm glad we've got to spend some time together. Good luck tomorrow and this year.
Beauty, thanks very much for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Peyton Krebs of the Sabres, who was my daughter's favorite player. I might have wanted to mention that to him. But it was his number. She wears 19. So that was the thought that went into it.
That's really all the thoughts you need. That's fine. That works.
Of course he has his... daughter is very young. Like, what is she going to be in boxing? What am I thinking there? What is she going to be doing? What other sports does she participate in? Chess? I mean, he's 24. So what else is your daughter involved in? Settlers of Catan, maybe, with her friends every weekend? Swimming, sure. Nothing wrong with that. Makes sense. Not baseball yet. Baseball's pretty soon. Baseball, soccer. I got the video. Do we all get the video of Jeremy's son scoring a goal? Very cool to see that. I mean, that's a young guy just starting out. Soccer shots, probably. Or no, that he's actually not. But still, like, those programs. My kids did that. My wife coached a soccer team that my son played on. And you know how it is, like, the pictures, you just save them, you put them on the fridge, and you never really want to throw them out. So you just put the new picture on top of it. And then every once in a while, like, a pile of pictures falls to the floor because you moved the magnet by a millimeter. And like, here's your whole, like, kid's life just splayed on the kitchen floor. So recently this happened, and there was the soccer team picture, and it's him and my wife, and it's two other kids. The team had three players. Like, the early days of sports. Far different now, where it's practices every night and every weekend for different teams, both kids, different countries. Like, it's just really, they're teenagers, and that's really what it is. But I like the soccer days. I like the baseball days, too. Remember, maybe my daughter played first, not first base, but like played baseball first. And you have those T-ball games where you're only allowed to go to first base and you're never out. Oh, are we teaching the kids the right lessons? You can't throw anybody out in this? I'm sure I probably thought that. And then you get the, like, a couple ages later, a couple years later, you get the ground ball just in front of the mound, and everybody's excited because somebody hit the ball, and they end up scoring because the throw to first is wide, and then go to second, and they go to second, and the outfielder's picking his nose, and just go to third, and then the throw comes in, and it just sort of rolls into left field, and it's, you know, a little league home run. You have those. What am I doing? What am I even talking about? Home runs. I got somewhere. So, Judge last night. Guerrero last night, and then Judge last night. I want the Blue Jays to win. It really came out last night as I'm watching them rack up a 6-1 lead. I am noisy. I'm alone watching this game. I mentioned it to my son. Want to see Guerrero? No. So I was really into it. But at 6-1, like, I'm thinking of, you know, tweeting or just sharing in the moment with people. But my thought was they could still easily lose. Like, it's still too early in this game. I go to Twitter with the thought, like, maybe I'll want to say something. I go to Twitter, even Sal. Like, Yankee fans are like it's over. Sal didn't literally say it's over, but he's talking about how the Jays will do in the next round. Which, you know, maybe we'll find out. It's not over for them either. But, like, well, if you're a fan of the winning team with, like, my sports history or yours, you're never really sure. Like, you can't ever be that sure. So, 6-1, and I had a couple of things to do. I'm washing dishes, and the game is on in the next room. I'm doing the dishes, and it's 6-3. And Judge is coming up. They might have walked Grisham or somebody. Like, the Jays got themselves, Bieber got himself in trouble. So 6-3, and they took the pitcher out? I don't even know. That's not the point. I'm in the kitchen. Judge is coming to bat. It's 6-3, and I'm a big wimp with this stuff. I turned it off. I don't want to see him blow it. It's the third inning. I don't want to see him blow it. I was actually doing other things. I would just turn the volume up when the Blue Jays were up because I didn't want to hear that crowd. I didn't want to hear that unless they were going to boo. I didn't want to hear that crowd. Just I'll listen to the game when the Blue Jays are up, and I will mute it when they're not. So now it's 6-3, and there's two on for Judge. I turn the game off, but I have the app open with, like, the graphics. I love that. I almost get everything I need out of sports these days from that in every sport. Just give me the play-by-play, and, you know, when a run is scored, they show the ball, you know, the graphic, the ball, wherever the ball goes. Like, that's good enough for me. I'm doing the dishes, and my attention that I'm paying to the Yankee game is only this. The phone is on the counter, and I'm working. And I look at my phone because I'm really interested in what's going to happen here. I look, not enough to watch the game. I look at it and I see strike one, strike two. Knuckle curve called strike. 100 mile an hour fastball, strike two. Like, all right. Well, and Judge, does Judge not have a bit of a reputation for coming up short in the playoffs too? Like, all right. 0-2. This is good. And I look at my phone and it said the dreaded when it's not your team. In play runs. I have a t-shirt that says it. In play, and the S is in parentheses. You don't know how many runs. The drama. In play runs. On a pitch, I'm looking only at the graphic, on a pitch that looks like it could hit him. Like, the pitch is a foot inside almost, it looks like, on this thing. And runs, well, what's that going to be? There's no way this is a big one. This is going to be like somebody booted a grounder, like the second baseman did in the first. Something like that. Nope. Three-run homer, and then I do tweet to say I am done with this game. I'm all bitter. Like, I'm sorry, it's the third inning, and it's 10 o'clock, and I'm done. Really, what I'm saying is the F word. Like, that's really what I'm saying is, like, really? Like, it's 6-1, you got it, even though it's still so early in the game. And this is the Aaron Judge, it's that pitch. Over the wall, like, really? That just happened? Then, you know, I sort of calmed down. I didn't watch any more of the game. I was really done with it. I would check in, like, I'm in bed, like, oh, 8-6, you know, great. I made the right decision. But then, you know, I wake up to, this is the greatest swing I've ever seen. I got Goldschmidt saying it, you know, people are glomming onto that. I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, he's great. That's, nope, no issue, no argument. But then I started to wonder, do you have an all-time favorite home run? Like, a young, we'll see what happens in the series. If the Yankees lose the series, I doubt Yankee fans are going to be like, that's my all-time favorite home run, because it's not big enough. Like, we lost, ultimately. I asked Jeremy and Joe this question today. Do you have an all-time favorite home run? And they both said yes, and they said the same one. Maybe you know what it is. I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what mine is. 803-0550. First, the update. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two-strike pitch. Hits a drive down the line. If it's fair, it's his moment. It is! It's tied! George has arrived!
Yankees take game three, game four tonight. Everybody plays today, except the Tigers, who are on the field. But whenever I look up, Seattle is batting, and it's an inning later, and Detroit has zero. I don't even know if Detroit has a hit or if they are just what is going on. Absolutely unable to score a run, it seems, the Tigers. But, you know, I'm going to try to speak that into existence, too, with the Skubal World Series MVP ticket that I hold. If they do win this game, he'll pitch the next one. He's the best pitcher in the sport, and maybe I'm on my way, but I'm sort of watching this game, and I just never see them at bat. 3-0 Seattle in the fifth. Runner on, one out. Do you have a favorite home run ever? I don't mean, like, if I may, like your kids or your own. I have a favorite home run that I hit, but I'm not going to do that to you. I get away with enough as it is around here. So I said Jeremy and Joe had the same one when I asked them. And Bautista, the bat flip, is their favorite home run. I think Jeremy might have been at the game. So that works. My memory of that, and I loved that too. I mean, Toronto. My memory of that one is we were just signing off in here when he was at bat. And I'm like, see you tomorrow. Click. And then he hit the home run. Like just within a second of when we turned the mics off. And I think we had just been giving the update on where that game stood, Toronto, Texas. Turn the mic off. Gotta go. Bat flip. So that's good. I'll give you mine in a second. Let's go to Michelle here. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi.
So my favorite home run of all time, actually, I watch every Yankees game. I'm a huge Yankees fan.
Mm-hmm.
Was last night's Aaron Judge home run. And the reason being is it got the monkey off his back. I mean, everybody said he doesn't do anything in the postseason. Even though he's batting over a 500 in the postseason, they knocked, Rodon out of the game. Yesterday, I thought it was dismal. I thought they were going to be knocked out of the series. That was it.
Yep.
And he got up and, he tied that game. And, Jazz obviously got the winning home run afterwards. But that was clutch. So now I can call him Captain Clutch.
Do you think it will remain your favorite home run if they were, perish the thought, Michelle, but to lose the series? Would it still hold up?
Yeah, it would, because I am a huge Yankees fan. And honestly, he is the MVP this year in baseball. And it's been a black eye for him. The last couple of years, he obviously doesn't have a series. So I think this was pivotal for him, for his career and his legacy, which I don't think people realize what they're watching in him. He is not just a great offensive ball player. He is dynamic out in the field as well. So I think this really seals the deal for what type of player he is. And nobody can go back now and say he doesn't do anything in the postseason.
Yeah, I guess you may be right. Thanks, Michelle. My feeling on that, I'm not a Judge expert, but you're somebody who didn't come through in the playoffs until you did. Just give it enough time, especially for a guy this great. not really big on the whole clutch thing, or, I mean, Bonds was this, right? Barry Bonds was the best player in the game, or one of them, and he would go to the playoffs and bomb, but then he didn't. one game against Atlanta that they needed to win, he hit a home run, and like, okay, well, I guess it's possible that you could actually hit a home run in the playoffs. I don't know why I think it wasn't, or I don't know why I thought it wasn't. For me, it really is, like, I love the Bautista one, but it would be, you know, the Bautista one, actually, let me say this first. That one, as cool as it was, turned into the nonsense. Like, it was the bat flip, throwing the bat, and then the Rangers got all, you know, whiny about it, and it took away from it. You know, you don't have to think that, but I kind of do. Not much. It's still legendary, a legendary moment. I was a Mets kid, and in 86, when they beat Boston, the two home runs in Game 7, Ray Knight to give them the lead, and then Strawberry to pad it. I don't know which one I would say I liked more, because even though it was already that the Mets were ahead when Strawberry hit his, he was having a terrible series, and everybody was into that. Like, just, what? Where is Daryl Strawberry? And he hits the home run right at the apple, and he takes like an hour and a half to round the bases. I think that was pretty cool. And they needed that home run, it turned out. So those are my top two, like, as a fan. And it would never be like somebody breaking a record. That was all just uncool in the end. McGuire, Sosa, Bonds. It couldn't be those. And I'm not a Yankee fan, so it wouldn't be Judge or even Cal Raleigh. Like, that would be like when I would have been the happiest with the outcome of a game. It would be those Mets. Let's go to Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
I have one in particular. I'm not a fan of the Cardinals, but a friend of...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mine from St. Louis got me into them, and he had me watching them in the 2011 World Series, and of course David Freese, Game 6.
Yep, Texas.
Against the poor Rangers, they're the brunt of the home run jokes, right? But yeah, that was an incredible one. The Joe Buck call with it, and forced Game 7, and of course they won. But he also had a double in that game, didn't he, David Freese, like earlier in the game?
It sounds right. I didn't watch it. I hate the Cardinals. Yeah. I am such a baby, Matt. Like, I couldn't watch the Yankees rally last night. I can't watch the Cardinals in the playoffs. You know, I can't watch the Phillies. I don't know what my problem is. Maybe I should just, for as neutral as I have grown to be in sports through all my fantasy stuff, I cannot watch these baseball teams that I just never liked.
Understandable. I'm pretty neutral on most of the teams. I'm just a fan of baseball, but Boston sports, I sound like Bulldog, but like, I can't get on board with Boston. but shout out to the bullpen, guys watching on YouTube, WGR feed. And that's all I had to say. This is David Freese, 2011.
Good choice. Thank you, Matt. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good.
Kirk Gibson's home run, I think it was in the World Series of 88 when he was hurt. He had the bum knee, and Tommy Lasorda decided he was going to put him in as a pinch hitter right at the end. Anybody watching that at the time thought it was just a terrible mistake given how hampered Gibson was. But he gets up, and he just hits that electric home run. The place went wild. L.A. was going crazy. Everybody who was in Buffalo watched just couldn't believe, you know, what it took for that guy to make a miracle. So that, for me, happens to be just
resonates. Yeah.
Love it. I was working that night at Channel 2.
Nice.
Yes, I was a high school student working as an intern at Channel 2 when that happened. And, like, I don't know what time that was, but it might have pushed the news back. It was a Saturday. And it might have pushed the news back to, like, after 11 o'clock. So you have to wait until the game is over, which I probably didn't like because I didn't drive a car. I needed my father to come get me, and I would have had to tell him that he was going to be late, and it's already 11:30 or something before I get out of there. But, yeah, that was definitely one for the ages. Here's Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks good.
For taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I do love the Batista one. I love the buildup to that and everybody going crazy in the stands. That was really fun. But my favorite was a game I was at here in Buffalo when the Jays were playing the Orioles, and we were sitting right behind home plate with my dad and brothers, and there was a grand slam, and then right after that, followed up by a home run, and that was just kind of really cool to be at and see. And again, it was the Jays, and being here right in Buffalo was really great.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that someone mentioned the games in Buffalo. I went to, I don't know, 7 or 8 of those games, maybe, and I'm trying to think if I had like a moment. What I've got right now, because I loved that. I mean, I was just for the wrong reasons, I know, but what a lucky thing that we got the majors for, what, a year and a half or whatever that ended up being? How cool was that? The moment I'm thinking of was a game against Texas, and I was there with my daughter and my friend and his daughter. We were sitting out in left field, and I think it was raining. And Jonah Heim, local product, got a hit for Texas, singled. And the crowd loved that. It was a Blue Jays crowd, but they loved that Jonah Heim got a hit in this game because he was pretty new on the scene. And I just remember looking at him, really feeling, I knew his dad and had talked to Jonah before and just like how cool this would have been for him. I mean, I'm in the majors, I'm in the big leagues, and I got to play a game at home in Buffalo and have this moment with the crowd. And I was looking at him from way out by the foul pole in left all the way across the diamond at first with Guerrero. Guerrero was the first baseman. And Guerrero might have patted him on the butt or something, and they were talking. And I just remember thinking, like, what are they talking about? You know, what is this conversation right now between Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Jonah Heim? But I don't have a home run memory from those Jays games, but I loved that. Let's go to Jason next. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
So Bobby Mercer hit a home run either the day of or the day after Thurman Munson's funeral to tie a game against the Orioles, and then he won it, I believe, in extra innings with a hit.
Mm-hmm. Like a Monday Night Baseball. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think it might have been Monday night. They had all just come back from the funeral, or it had been the day before. Yeah. Mercer tied it in the ninth with a home run, or the eighth, and won it in extra innings with a hit.
Love it.
So that would be my favorite home run.
That's really good. Thanks, Jason. That's really good. A little bit, I vaguely remember Munson's death. Like, I don't know if I do, or it's just sort of knowing about it getting older. But yeah, that's familiar to me. We'll take a break. Sal coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.